former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonantoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Hey, hey, happy Thursday, everybody. Welcome into the Lombardi Line presented by DraftKings alongside former NFL general manager Michael Lombardi out there in Jersey. Stormy Bonantoni here live from downtown Las Vegas, Circa Resort and Casino. Got a great 2 hours on tap for you today. And Michael, before we get going here real quickly, yesterday was your birthday. So I do need to know, what was the birthday meal of choice? How did you close out the night yesterday?
Well, I mean, Millie was traveling, so that made it very tough to have the birthday meal because she was coming back from California helping our oldest son get handled out in his new job with the 49ers. We both have a rooting interest, which is awesome. Yes. And so the great Bill Berman, he just went to work, you know, made sure we had chicken wings, we had French fries, we had Caesar salad, kind of stood out in the backyard. We solved all the problems. Here's what the most dangerous thing about the birthday, Stormy, is my oldest son gave me a karaoke player.
Ooh.
Which is meant for the backyard. It's a speaker, but you could do karaoke. This is going to get dangerous. This is going to result in someone getting arrested for crowd noise in Ocean City this summer. I'm just warning you. It's not going to be pretty. Berman was singing last night. We went from Peter Cetera to Kenny Loggins, morphed into a little Jackson Browne, which he couldn't pull off. Tried to do Barry Gibb, not so good. Came circling back around, you know, a little Barry White. I don't know if that's going to work. But anyway, that's what we were. So we sat in the backyard and we both all looked at one another and said, this could get really dangerous. Because what you have to understand about the backyard in the summertime, Stormy, and you certainly are welcome to come anytime, the playlist is the most dangerous thing, most dangerous. Because it comes with a lot, especially when the boys are here with the summer, with their families, it becomes a little bit of, oh, that song's horrible. Why would you put that on there? Or, you know, everybody's judged. And it's a very, very difficult thing. Although I will say this, just for reference, we reached the pinnacle of the playlist last Saturday. We really did. Because we had a very special guest in the backyard. And he signed off on the playlist.
The special guest, am I allowed to know who the special guest is? Can I ask? Or is that...
Well, I was going to see. We're going to play that. So our coach, our favorite coach, Coach Belichick, was moving his boat from Annapolis up to where he summers in Nantucket, where he's always has. And he stopped off and spent the backyard. We had dinner. We throw some steaks on. And he happened to just throw out there, Mike, is this your playlist? And I said, no. Bill, it's not because I don't control the music out here. I got fired 3 years ago from playing the music because it was too much Springsteen. So it's Bill Berman who handles the playlist here. And he's like, oh, Bill, great playlist. So he's labeled the playlist in his phone now the GOAT list, the GOAT playlist.
Wow, that's
which
awesome.
You're not going to be – a lot happened that night in the backyard, which got a lot of people off the hook on – well, one on playlist for sure. One maybe on wine too. So we'll see. It was good. It was a fun evening.
Good. I'm glad that you had a good time last weekend. You had a good birthday night. Kudos, Bill Berman, for coming in the clutch with the meal and the electric karaoke playlist situation,
you
all of that. But when you get
I'll
Bill Belichick's approval
– I'll send you a video on break. I'll send you a video on break. You're not going to like it. It's not pretty.
I can't wait. I have so many questions. Can't wait to get into some commercial break conversation of your go-to karaoke song and all of that. It'll be great. To set the table for what we got going on the rest of the show today, coming up in about 30 minutes, VSiN's own Mike Somich, host of The Handle, is going to join us. We'll get his thoughts on the Stanley Cup final as well as some day baseball. Plus, he has an article up on VSiN.com right now about how to create your own NFL power rankings, get you set for the NFL season. Then later on in hour two, former NFL offensive lineman turned analyst in NFL and college football, Jeff Schwartz, is going to join us. He's also someone that played at Oregon, but loved and covered the Pac-12 for years. So excited to have that conversation with him, get his thoughts on the Ducks in the Big Ten. They host Ohio State in week 6. Really, really good conversation there. We've also got Michael's summer school assignments that will continue for all 32 teams. It's a no way, no doubt day. We are locked and loaded with it all. But what we're going to get started with is some headlines around the National Football League and sports in general with news or noise. Roll it.
Is it news?
Corleone is a man who insists on hearing bad news immediately.
Or just noise?
Are you going to act like this is news?
Just noise. Just noise.
Let's separate the impactful from the insignificant with one simple question. News or noise?
Let's get into it. The Associated Press came out this week asking NFL awards voters to consider the following criteria when it comes to their choice for Comeback Player of the Year. Writing, the spirit of the AP Comeback Player of the Year Award is to honor a player who has demonstrated resilience in the face of adversity by, and here's the clarification, overcoming illness, physical injury, or other circumstances that led him to missing playing time the previous season. Is this new criteria news or noise?
Well, I mean, it's news because Twitter Femi came out. I mean, did you see Twitter Femi going crazy over this? I mean, when you get Twitter Femi to come out, you got news. I mean, this was historic. The way he came charging out of the gates, you had to be impressed by that, right? Look, he's upset that there's guidelines. I think there should be guidelines. I'm always asking for, like, I don't know what we're voting for. I don't want them to tell me to vote for somebody. But I want them to tell me to vote for a cluster of people who qualify, right? I'll make the decision, but tell me who qualifies. I like it. I think it clarifies something. Twitter Femi did not like it. He was very anxious about it.
He said, make sure you start giving me what something along the lines of criteria for MVP, how it's only quarterbacks, right? Like, let's make that the distinction next. The AP, though, clearly not in love with Joe Flacco winning over Damar Hamlin, Geno Smith winning over Christian McCaffrey, wanted to give a little bit clearer picture. And for us as bettors, I think this is news because, to your point, it can help us eliminate people. Sam Darnold, 20-1. What's he coming back from? Russell Wilson, also 20-1. What's he coming back from? Getting benched the last couple of games, not having a great season. So I think that this is important for us from a betting perspective. Let's move on here. The UFL, Michael, has announced 8 players have signed with NFL teams since the season's close. Rumored to be 2 more deals that have not yet been confirmed yet. But news or noise that we are seeing some folks make that transition and get signed in the NFL?
Well, I think it's news, and I think it's news that happens so quickly, right? I think that's the most important factor. And these kids have played. I mean, you know, they've played all year to get this opportunity, and there's no guarantee they're going to make a team. But certainly, I think what we're seeing is that teams have paid attention to the teams that are going on in the World League. They're watching it. They're scouting it. And look, it doesn't matter where you come from. It matters how you play, right? Yeah. So when you think about it, when you look at the kicking situation with Jake Bates, who kicked for Michigan, right? Mm-hmm. Didn't he kick for Michigan up there? You know, and he signs a contract to compete with Michael Badgley at the Lions. I mean, this is great. This is what the league should be about, a chance for guys to redeem themselves and not have a predisposed opinion of it.
Yeah, Bates was with the Michigan Panthers in the UFL. He played his college ball at a couple other schools, Arkansas and Arkansas Central, where he was largely a kickoff specialist because he was playing behind other good kickers that ultimately ended up getting drafted or making NFL teams. So he never got the opportunity to be the guy. In the UFL, he did. He got that moment. He signs a 2-year, $1.98 million deal with the Lions with, $150,000 guaranteed for a guy that didn't get a shot in college to get a shot in the NFL. Pretty darn cool. Let's go to the 49ers, who now we both have an affinity for once again, Michael. And then I know they got your ring, so you've always had that special place in your heart. But George Kittle typically measures in 6'4", 250. He said on the Bussin' with the Boys podcast, he dropped around 30 pounds this offseason because of that core muscle surgery and other injuries. Quote, I couldn't lift. I couldn't do anything with my upper body because of my shoulder, my rib. I couldn't do anything with my lower body because of core muscle surgery. I didn't lift from the Super Bowl until almost mid-March. Quote, my anxiety levels were pretty high. He did say he's hoping to gain back at least 10 more pounds by the regular season. News or noise, the weight drop from Kittle?
Well, I think it is news. And look, he needs his weight. He wants to be a power player. I think what we saw when Rob Gronkowski went on the stretching program and not the lifting program, where he got leaner and he got more pliable, but yet he didn't have the lower body strength. I mean, George knows he needs to get in the gym. He needs to be able to really kind of create a lower body and have that explosion, because he is one of the true, he's a dinosaur. He's a guy that can block on the end of the line, and he can block a 7 technique. He can block an 8 technique. He can block a 9 technique. He doesn't have to block the support end. So he's a dinosaur in that area, and he needs the power to do it. What I got to get, you know what I want for Father's Day? I want one of those Bill Walsh's white. We used to have them when I worked there, 49er. You ever see those white 49er shirt T-shirts that they have? Those are the best. You could still see Walsh in a picture of that with his Sansa belt shorts. You remember that as a 49er fan. You have to remember that.
Beautiful. Let's hit one more of these here. The NFL has been accused in a multi-billion dollar class action lawsuit that dates back about a decade of conspiring with its major TV partners to keep the price of the Sunday ticket package high and therefore difficult for chunks of people to purchase in order to inflate their local TV numbers. And the ratings are there, right? 93 of the top 100 broadcasts last year were NFL games. Commissioner Roger Goodell was on the stand this week with it finally going to trial. News or noise, Michael, that like, is there a world in which the NFL could lose this lawsuit and be on the hook for billions of dollars?
Well, I mean, there's always that potential anytime you enter into a legal arena and a judge and all that. But I think to me, these cases typically get settled. But look, I don't think the NFL wants to, they want to make it so that fans that want to watch the games either are going to sports bars to do it or they're going to watch their team. I don't think they want it. They want it to be fans like me who have to do it for work, right? And so that's a special category. And I think what Goodell said, what Jerry Jones said, look, I mean, if he wanted to charge whatever he wanted to charge for Cowboy games, he could charge a lot more. People will pay for it, you know? So I think what we're seeing in the streaming services, they could. So I mean, I would assume that this is the reason it's going is because the league thinks they have a good case.
Mm-hmm. The argument, of course, from the league that this is a premium product and they can price what they see fit for their item. We have a few more of these news or noise items.
You get four game Femi with the YouTube ticket. Now, oh, yeah. I mean, that's a premium right there. That's a premium, Stormy.
Locked and loaded. You know it. We're going to hit the break here. We'll have more news or noise items a little bit later. But for now, Michael Lombardi's summer school is in session. What assignments Michael is giving these teams who have wrapped up minicamp?
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
If you like watching and listening to VSiN, don't forget about all the great betting tools and content also available at VSiN.com. Best bets from hosts and guests, betting splits, pro tips, trends, and of course, betting news. And even in the dog days of summer, you can find daily betting previews for games in Major League Baseball and the WNBA, as well as Euro soccer and tennis. Plus, right now on the homepage, our own Mike Somich, who will be joining the show in about 20 minutes or so, is looking ahead to the NFL season with a starter's guide to creating your own power rankings. Which categories are most important to include first? Mike has the answers right now at vsin.com. Welcome back to the Lombardi Line alongside Michael Lombardi, Stormy Bond, and Tony with you. And for the NFL summer, it's summertime. Everybody's having fun. They're going to go on their little final vacations before training camp begins. But just like summertime for kids when they're breaking after school is over, it's all fun and games for a time until that summer reading list hits. You start getting closer to school beginning again. You got to get back in that mode. And so what we're doing here and what we've been doing all week is Michael's summer school is in session and we have some assignments that we're doling out to all 32 teams ahead of training camps getting started in late July. Today on the list, first class in session, Michael, is with your favorite team in the entire league, the New York Jets. So what is assignment one for the Jets this summer?
Communication. Can we communicate with one another? Assignment number two, send Robert Saleh to media training. Can we get him to where he can get up in front of the podium and actually give a message to somebody? You know, number three, handle the Hassan Reddick thing internally. Don't handle it outside. And four, understand that you're going to be asked 1,000 questions about where Aaron Rodgers went for the seminar or the retreat or wherever in South America somewhere. You better have an answer for that, because if it gets out that he went to a retreat and not went to minicamp and you knew that, that's going to get ugly. So number five would be, can we anticipate problems before they happen, which we should. After that, try to figure out how we're going to move the football on offense, because we do have Aaron Rodgers. So those would be my six things right there.
How concerning is that, Michael, that items one through five on your six-point list were all non-football on-field things?
Well, because it gets in the way, right? I mean, Coach Walsh used to say this all the time. The Civil War is the worst war to fight. I mean, we had more casualties in that war than any other war that we've participated in terms of Americans, you know. And so what happens is when you're fighting internally amongst yourself with lack of communication, you don't have a healthy, vibrant organization. It's horrible. And so if you can't handle that, if you can't solve the turmoil from within, it's going to creep onto the field. We've never seen a team win that has had a bad locker room. It just doesn't happen. I've never been part of a championship team that didn't like one another or didn't communicate to one another. So it's horrible, but it's an absence of leadership. What I'm really saying with those five things is, hey, Robert, go become a leader. Learn how to be a leader. Get a mentor. That might be a good idea. You know, we talked about this. I'm going to write this for the Daily Coach next week. Joe Mazzulla, give him credit. He brought Jeff Van Gundy in there to mentor him. Sala needs a mentor badly. Sala should have been the guy hiring David Shaw, not Sean Payton.
Yeah, which for anybody who missed it, a senior advisor, David Shaw, former Stanford head coach for the last 12 years, he is going to be a part of the Broncos organization, which I think kudos to Sean Payton for that hire. And what an addition that'll be for Bo Nix. We'll actually talk about that a little bit later on in the show. But to finish up, final thought here on the Jets, whose season win total is 9.5. The expectation is they're going to be a playoff team. They're going to be a contender in the AFC East. Things that we haven't said about the Jets in a really long time. And I know the big question about them is if they're healthy, but I want to ask specifically about the offensive right. line, because from a talent standpoint alone, health or not, some of the pieces that they added are aging. What do you think about that offensive line on the surface, if healthy?
Well, if healthy, and that's a big, 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 big if. They should be okay. They should be adequate, right? Because here's what we do know. What I think we don't talk enough about is the quarterback getting rid of the ball quickly allows the offensive line to get away with a lot of different things. And it happened in Green Bay. But remember, when Green Bay played San Francisco in the playoff game in Green Bay, when Rodgers didn't play well, it was because the offensive line didn't play well. He had to hold the ball a little longer than he wanted to. So Rodgers is going to make this line play better, assuming he's healthy, than it was last year. So I do think if they're healthy, they'll play effectively.
All right, we'll see if they can meet those ifs, right? Another if I think is fair to say is the Pittsburgh Steelers and what's going to happen at quarterback. Regardless, we can confirm that it should be an upgrade from what they have had the last couple of years with Kenny Pickett, Mason Rudolph, Mitch Trubisky, with Justin Fields, and of course the presumed starter Russell Wilson stepping into that role. Win total set at 8.5. Although given the difficulty of the schedule and the way it's laid out, the juice has gone from it being -120 to the over to +130, I believe, to the over now. What's your assignment for the Pittsburgh Steelers as they get set for training camp?
Get continuity with the offensive line. They've got to get that. They have two young players who they drafted, Troy Fatuna, who's going to play right tackle for them. Broderick Jones is a second-year player from Georgia playing left tackle. They got to get him to go. And then Zach Frazier is going to start at center. If he can start at center and beat out Herbig, that'll be critical. So continuity within the offensive line is going to be really important. They have two good tight ends. If Darnell Washington stays healthy, the tight ends, they'll be able to run the football. They'll be in 12 personnel quite a bit. I expect a big year out of Harris and Jaylen Warren. And then I think that's going to be critical. And then their secondary on defense. They've got to be able to play some man-to-man when they want to play it. Joey Porter Jr. has got to play without getting holding calls on him. But this is a team that I know the schedule looks difficult. I think they got a chance. And I didn't mention Russell Wilson because I think they're going to work the offense around where Wilson's not going to have to be the major focus. It's going to be run play action.
I think that's important, too, especially considering some of the turnover issues that the Pittsburgh Steelers have had the last couple years. And I know we talk so much about turnover margin in general. And of course, the team that has fewer turnovers is likely going to be more successful. But the numbers for Pittsburgh, I feel like, are staggering. When they have won the turnover battle in games the last 2 years, they're 19-5. When they have not, they're 0-10. And if Russell Wilson can just do enough to run that offense efficiently, we know that we have trust in the defense and what they'll be able to bring. So I feel like that's such an important part for the Pittsburgh Steelers of 2024. How about the Seattle Seahawks? New head coach Mike McDonald steps in. They go from one of the oldest head coaches in the sport to one of the newest, but a new voice with Pete Carroll no longer in the building. And we saw what he was able to do as a defensive leader. Can he bring that over to Seattle? And what's assignment one for Seattle?
get better. Stop the run. I mean, they haven't been able to stop the run in 2 years. They've lost home field advantage. They're 29-21 over home field in the last however many games that is. You know, so they've got to play. But I think the last 5 years they have not played well at home. When you're just slightly above 500 at home, defensive line's got to come through. Murphy's got to play well. Reed's got to play well. They've got to stop the run, and they've got to be able to eliminate that, which will allow their home field crowd to get back into the game and help their pass rush. And then offensively, they got Geno Smith to be accurate with the football. And Kenneth Walker's an elite runner along with Charbonnet. I mean, they've got to be able to run the ball. So the two lines are their homework assignment. They've got to get better up front. Last year, Lucas and Cross were hurt, which really affected them. But this team should be better defensively. It's going to take a little bit of time to come together. But I think if Baker's healthy, who they signed from Miami, remember they traded linebackers, you know, that from Miami to Seattle, and so Brooks was to Miami. Baker comes here. Baker's got to be healthy for them to be well. And so is Dotson, the kid they signed from Buffalo. So the key is stopping the run and getting that home field advantage back in your favor.
Speaking of Baker, how about Baker Mayfield, who led the Tampa Bay Buccaneers to not only an NFC South title last season, but a massive wild card round win over the Philadelphia Eagles in the playoffs. Their win total set at 8.5. They're bringing pieces back, but everybody in the NFC South is talking about the Falcons. If they want to get over the hump and win that division again, what needs to happen for them? What should they be focusing on?
2 years in a row with Tom Brady and then with Baker Mayfield, they can't run the ball at all. They had no ability to run the football. They've got to have some more balance in their offense. They can't just count on a big play from Mike Evans, a big play from Godwin. They've got to be able to run the ball, whether it's with White, whether it's with Irving, who they drafted in the fourth round, whether it's with Chase Edmonds, whomever it may be, they've got to run the football. And then defensively, they're going to do a really good job. I mean, Todd Bowles is a very good defensive coach. They'll do a good job of mixing it up and creating problems for the quarterback, but they've got to be able to cover. I mean, they traded Carlton Davis up to Detroit. Okay, great. They got rid of him, got rid of his salary, spread that money around, but they're going to have to come through with their outside corners, with McCollum, with Izeen. They're going to have to really come through. Dean's a good player, but the other two guys got to step up.
Sees a win total for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers sitting there at 8.5. They're a 3-1 shot in the NFC South. So they are ahead of the Saints in the odds now, at least, but they didn't open that way. -185 to miss the playoffs after making it a season ago. We're going to hit the break. When we come back, VSiN's own Mike Somich is going to join the show, get his thoughts on a little Stanley Cup final, what he's working on as it pertains to the NFL betting guide here at VSiN, which is set to come out 1 week from today. And I guess he's got a little MLB for us as well. So we're getting the full gamut with Mike. We'll be right back on the Lombardi Line.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
If you're watching this show, we know you love the NFL. So get excited because we're releasing our VSiN NFL betting guide 1 week from today. This guide's your ultimate resource for all things football season, jam-packed with detailed team, division, and conference analysis, and of course, best bets for the year. To get the guide, you must be a VSiN Pro subscriber, though. Right now, you can sign up for a VSiN Pro annual subscription for $199, which is down from the regular price of $240. Plus, when you use our promo code Lombardi, we're throwing in an extra month absolutely free. With a VSiN Pro subscription, you'll get exclusive access to premium analysis, expert picks, and advanced betting tools that'll give you an upper hand all year long. Don't miss out on your chance to sign up and save ahead of the season. Head to VSiN.com/subscribe now. And again, use that promo code Lombardi to claim your discount and bonus month. Welcome back to the Lombardi Line. Somebody who will be making contributions to that guide and VSiN.com. Show host Mike Somich joining us now on the Progressive Guest Line. Host of The Handle weekends from noon to 3 Eastern here on VSiN and DraftKings Network. Follow him on X at SamaBomb18 and send him a tweet wishing him happy birthday. How awesome is this? So Michael's birthday is yesterday. Mike Somich, your birthday today. And you're both still putting in the time working. Kudos to you both. I would have been out of there. No shot you're going to catch me working on my birthday. We so appreciate your time today, Mike. How are you?
I'm doing great. Stormy. Let's be honest. Look, I love to gamble on sports, too much to just take my birthday off. I got to be out there betting on something. And so it's a great day. Hopefully we have a little bit of birthday luck today and come through with a perfect day.
Yes, absolutely. We hope so. Michael, you're going to say something?
Well, I was going to ask you, I just want to real quick, before we talk about the Edmonton, Florida series, I wanted to, did you have anything cooking last week in the U.S. Open? And what was your reaction to Rory missing those putts?
Not shocked that Rory missed those putts. He's someone that I think he's a guy who you can consistently bet top five, but not someone I'd often take to win one of those tournaments. I had a little Oberg pre-tournament at 22-1. So I was pretty happy heading into Saturday in the lead. That kind of all fell apart. U.S. Open, one of the tougher events to bet in my mind, just because you've got these difficult courses that are set up specifically to challenge the players. And it makes it harder for me to go in there and get involved in it. So I just had the Oberg ticket. Didn't work out for me. But not surprised about Rory, man. And that's tough to miss a putt like that on 18. And then to see Bryson hit that sand shot out of the bunker, just phenomenal. The turn from Bryson, I think, is amazing here. Someone who everyone hated a couple years ago, now all of a sudden loves him. Small doses of Bryson apparently is a good thing.
Yeah, and he was amazing with the fans this past week, the way that they all rallied around him. And I don't know if you guys have seen any of his social media videos, but he has like one of the funniest TikTok videos of him like in the weight room practicing celebrations. Like, yeah, we got it, but it's with the, you know, the machines. I don't know. Look it up. It's fun. I'm not explaining it well, but highly recommend. While Rory was mental, the way that he was feeling when he lost the US Open is very similar to how I feel about betting the Stanley Cup final at this point, because I went into it very confident that the Florida Panthers were going to have this thing signed, sealed, delivered, win their first cup in franchise history. They go up 3-0. I think they're going to win in at least five. And now here we are with the series going back to Edmonton. Where do you sit on things right now, Mike?
Slightly nervous, I think, is the best way to put it. I bet Panthers before the series started got them at plus 125. I took them minus a game and a half, plus 160. After three games, I was feeling great. The Panthers were dominating play. They were able to hem Edmonton in their own zone, really take advantage of it. And you felt like they were just going to be able to grind this Edmonton defense down. But Bobrovsky just hasn't been very good in the last two games, and that's been a big part of Florida's success. He needs to bounce back, and Florida needs to get out better as well. You look at game four, game five, they fell behind early in both of those games. They were playing from behind. They can do that, but that's not really how they are built. They want to get a lead and just start playing downhill. It'll be interesting to see how Florida comes out in this game, specifically in Edmonton, and if they can kind of weather that first 10-minute storm from Edmonton or even take it to them early to be able to establish the dominance that we saw in parts of games one through three to be able to try and take this series back. I think Skinner's outplayed Bobrovsky the last two games. That's been huge. Obviously, Connor McDavid's been absolutely phenomenal. That makes a big difference for Edmonton as well. Still, when you look through the whole roster, I think Florida is the better team, but Edmonton's top line has just been so dominant the last couple games. It's been hard for Florida to be able to get it going. It's going to be interesting to see who wins the Conn Smythe. I think it probably is McDavid, no matter who wins this series now after these last two games and how well he has played throughout the Stanley Cup Finals, which is crazy to say. We haven't seen a winner of the Conn Smythe on a losing team in a long time in the Stanley Cup Finals. Look, I've got a lot of Florida money still, so I'm not going to bet the game tomorrow. If I did bet the game, I would be back on Florida in regulation. You get around plus 190 right now. So I still like Florida. I'm just a lot more nervous than I was a couple games ago, Stormy.
Mike, are you thinking about, you know, I know you've got money tied into Florida winning. Are you going to do anything to offset your potential there by maybe taking Edmonton to win the thing on a plus 295 number or something like that that was out yesterday?
I'm not a big hedging guy, Michael, especially when I don't think anything has really changed. I mean, we haven't seen a big injury from Florida. We haven't seen a reason for me to say, oh, yeah, Edmonton's the better team in this spot. And when it's not, you know, for me, when it's not life-changing money, when it's not 100 units, 200 units, something like that, I'm not a big fan of hedging off your bet because if your opinion hasn't changed. Now, if I was sitting here and I watched the first five games and I said, oh, nope, this is a better Edmonton team, yeah, I'll come in and bet it. But if I'm going to hedge, I want to make sure I actually believe the hedge is the right side or I'm creating a big middle for myself where I can win both bets. And right now I don't have a situation to do that. And I do think Florida's better, just like I did when they started the series. So I'm not going to come in and kind of lay off some of my liability simply to, you know, put less risk on just because I don't feel like I need to at this point. I feel like I still have the better side and the right price. Essentially get Florida plus 160 when you can go out there in the market and get them plus 105 right now to win the game. So I'm going to stay on Florida, not going to hedge out here. Probably won't hedge out in game seven if it does take that, because again, I think Florida's a better team. I still trust them to be able to get it done. Just a little more nervous than I was.
Yeah. I hope you're right, buddy. Let's close it out. Florida, baby. Mike Somich, host of The Handle, joining us here on the Progressive Guest Line. You also have a couple bets in Major League Baseball coming up tonight. What are you looking at?
Yeah, I'm going to go to the first five under in Baltimore and the New York Yankees. A little nerve-wracking to play the under here with two teams that can both hit the baseball. But you've got two solid pitchers in Irwin and Gill on the hill. And this is one of those totals where I thought it should be at 8. And right now we're sitting at 8.5. That means you can get the first five at under 4.5 instead of under 4. And that half run kind of made the difference for me. So I'm going to go under Yankees Orioles first five, 4.5. And then let's go to the Royals, who have really been struggling, 2-8 over their last 10. You've got Lugo on the mound for them today. He's been 10-2, has been phenomenal. But someone I'm looking to fade at some point because the advance numbers are not nearly as high on him. On the other side, you got Spence on the hill for the A's. He's one of the capable pitchers for the Athletics. So I'm going to take a little bit of shot with the dog here. You can get them plus 130 right now, first five. So I'm going to take the A's first five plus 130, see if we can get a bad start out of Lugo and a decent one out of Spence. And hopefully the struggling Royals continue to struggle here.
And how about the Yankees? I saw on the sheet today that you got the Yankees in the O in the first five under 4.5. The Yankees are hot, right? I've been reading the book about the Yankees. It's been fascinating for me. I'm not a huge baseball guy, but I am a team building guy. It's kind of been interesting how Cashman has kind of designed the team and gone through this. But today against a good Orioles team, you like first five under 4.5.
I do. This Yankees team has been good. They've been healthy. That's been a big part of it for them. They've been able to keep everyone on the offensive side healthy. No injuries to Stanton, no injuries to Judge. Soto's played well and avoided a major injury. But Gill is right now your AL Rookie of the Year favorite. He's going to be on the hill. I think he's able to shut down Baltimore. And on the other side, like I said, Irwin, I think, is a capable starter. And because this line is at 8.5, you're getting that extra half run in the first five. And that's where I think you have the edge. So we'll go under 4.5 first five there, Yankees Orioles.
Last couple of minutes here, Mike. I have been teasing the article that you have up at VSiN.com about setting your own NFL power rankings. And I'd love if you don't mind sharing a little bit about why that's important for us as bettors to create our own sets of numbers and compare those against what we're seeing with the books and maybe some best practices for how to get them set.
Yeah, of course. Look, making your own power ratings is very important to me if you want to take betting seriously, especially in the NFL. One of the main reasons, I feel like it points out your own bias to yourself because you set up these rankings, you get a number for each of these teams, and then you look at the market. And if you're consistently 2 or 3 points off the market, you're either really right, really wrong, or really biased. And a lot of times it's bias. You just have a higher opinion on these teams than the market necessarily does. And you got to kind of take a second look and figure out why. And this early in the preseason, I should say, off season, it's a little difficult to start with those numbers. But one of the best places to look is at win totals. Now, win totals are going to be affected by the schedule. So you do have to take that into account. But it gives you an idea of where the market is on specific teams and teams that you're higher or lower on. And, you know, right out of the gate, if you do adjusted win totals, which means that for every 10 cents of juice, you move the win total 1/10 of a win. That's about what the value is. You'll notice that the third highest ranked team in win totals right now is the Cincinnati Bengals at 10.8. They're ahead of the Ravens at 10.75. They are dogs to the Ravens in the division, dogs in the AFC to the Ravens, dog in the Super Bowl to the Ravens. So right away, you can see certain things that stand out to you on teams that are higher in the market than maybe you have them. And it allows you to start kind of shaping your numbers based on where the market is as well. And so for me, it's important to start this process early because I want to know as this adjusts, whether or not I'm going to make any adjustments, depending on what happens in the regular season. And then to point out teams that I'm just too high or too low on going into the regular season.
You're the man. Happy birthday, Mike. Thanks for joining
us. Thanks, Mike. Appreciate
Thanks.
It. Have a great
one.
Birthday, Mike.
Yes, have a
Thank
great
you very
weekend.
Much.
And rumor has it, Mike Somich might be heading out to Vegas to celebrate. Woo-hoo. Okay, we're going to hit the break. When we come back, we've got a storm warning. Discussing some mid-tier quarterbacks and if there is a fix to the growing high-dollar contract problem, why this awards market might not be as cut and dry as it seems, plus in the dog days of summer, are we betting to bet? Are we betting to win? We'll be right back.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
I love the warning. I love this segment on Thursday. I love to get Stormy's opinion on so many things. So we saw Trevor Lawrence get a massive new contract last week. And there's been a lot of discussion centering around which quarterback will be next. But there is a problem with quarterback contracts that I think you need to warn us all about.
Yeah. And so this is kind of part question, part warning that I want to bring up to you and kind of present an option and see what you think about it. But yeah, can we solve the quarterback contract problem? Because it's no secret that these things are getting out of hand, especially when it comes to what I would consider at times mediocre and bad quarterbacks. Not to say that the guys on your graphic, Dak Prescott's not a bad quarterback, but immediately my mind goes to last offseason, right? And I know it's low-hanging fruit, but when the Giants told us that Daniel Jones was worth $30 million more than Saquon Barkley, and especially in a sport where we talk so much about it being the ultimate team sport, right? You need all 11 guys. In order for one person to have success, everybody has to be working together. So while quarterback is the most important position, there are other players that in times when compared to the quarterbacks are actually more valuable, it feels like, in certain moments. And what I would like to see happen, and I'm curious your thoughts on how we could institute this fix, is seeing players that actually have a demonstrated proven impact on winning, getting rewarded for that. Yet to your point, like we look at Trevor Lawrence right here, who is the highest average annual value quarterback in the National Football League. Yet he has one playoff win, one Pro Bowl, no All Pros, and is coming off a season where he was injured and led the league in turnovers. You wrote in your VSiN column last week, the positional market in the NFL salary structure dictates price, regardless of talent level or contribution towards winning. That's terrible. Like, that sounds like we need a market correction. So what's the answer? Is it something more similar to what we see in the NBA, more specifically how we have those supermax contracts where a player, is this possible where a player like must have reached a certain criteria or a certain level of accomplishment or honor or award to garner a certain tiered level of contract? Do you think that that would be doable and reasonable in the NFL?
No, because I think the reason they're getting the money, Stormy, is simply because we can't say no. It's like the fork I can't put down. It's like,
why?
You can lose weight. All you have to do, because there's no alternative, because the media is so worried. You know, you got people out there defending Daniel Jones. How many times did you see Daniel Jones's contract compared to his stats compared to Trevor Lawrence? People do it all the time. He's just as good, and they paid him, so it makes the Giants okay. Look, there's nobody that has enough conviction until somebody, maybe it's Jerry Jones, says, you know what? I'm not paying that. I'm going to draft a guy, and we're going to start this thing over. Look, there's nobody in the league that didn't like Derek Carr more than the owner. More than the owner. He tried to get Gruden to get rid of him. He tried to get Rich Bisacci and then Josh McDaniel. He was not on board with Carr. But the problem was everybody knew once they got rid of Carr and they didn't win, he was going to fire him. Right? You can't have it both ways. You want to get rid of Carr, great. Then we're going to have to suck it up and figure out how we're going to get another quarterback. But nobody wants to do that. So they just pay out. And now, like the Rams, they're going to pay double because what's their alternative? I agree. Your warning is correct. But the only answer is put the fork down. It's the only answer.
That's the thing. Like, shouldn't at some point common sense and cooler heads prevail? That's what I don't understand. Why are we just accepting this?
Well, because there's no, because A, the owners are making so much money, it's not reaching into their pocket. Right. It's like we used to say this all the time at the Raiders. You know, you can give Charles Woodson $12 million a year, but God forbid if we order two legal pads, because the legal pads come out of the pocket of the owner. The $12 million comes out of the salary cap. So I think at the end of the day, as long as the owners are making the money, but if it was a free enterprise, if it was capitalism at its finest, where you only got paid if you won, I don't think these numbers would be like this. But everybody's fat and happy. Let's go on to college football. There's college towns that I love to go to. Tuscaloosa is one of them. Ann Arbor. Athens, Georgia is incredible. And there's always huge expectations. And you travel all over to these places to win and win big. But you believe bettors should avoid that these teams' assumptions that they're going to win big.
So yesterday we went through a handful of college football futures with the angle surrounding them of all of the changes of head coaches in college football, specifically at the top, the ripple effect of the Nick Saban retirement, right? And it got me really thinking about some of the numbers about these teams. And just because a program has name value or brand recognition doesn't automatically mean we can assume that they're going to have success again this year. Alabama, for example, as you reference, a perennial contender under Nick Saban, ranks 115th in the country in returning production. And I love Kalen DeBoer. I think he's a tremendous coach with a proven track record of success. But that's significant. Michigan won a national championship last year. They're 128th in returning production of only 134 schools in FBS football. And their win total is 9. And they're an odds-on number to make the playoff. Even Washington, who will put in there, played Michigan in that title game. They have the smallest percentage of returning production on offense of any team in the country. Their win total is 7. And that might be high in this new league. So I just think that it's a good reminder that this is the time of year we should be doing our homework on these teams. Don't just assume because Alabama's won 10 games every year for the last 10 years that they're going to win 10 again. Don't just assume that Michigan, because they won a national championship last year, is going to come back and be in the playoff. There are a lot of other factors at play here. And just because a name is a name doesn't mean that you can automatically bet in on them. So it's more just a cautionary thing here. Now more than ever, with all of the change in college football, we got to be doing our homework.
I would add one more to it. I would say get the betting guide, because I think you're betting blindly if you don't have that guide in front of you with all the changes. All right, let's go into your wheelhouse. Not that everything isn't your wheelhouse. Connor McDavid has had a historic playoff run, and he's chasing Gretzky, and he's minus 200 to win the MVP. And I know you're never scared to bet the favorite. However, the Panthers are still big favorites to win the Cup. How are you attacking these markets?
Connor McDavid was a minus 150 favorite after Tuesday's game. He's already been bet up to minus 200. And I think people feel it's very cut and dry, as if regardless of outcome, that Connor McDavid is going to win the Conn Smythe Award in the Stanley Cup final. And I'm just saying proceed with caution in this awards market, because if you're placing a bet on this market right now, you're betting on two things with the scope of understanding that A, this is a market that's volatile as hell, and B, you're either betting on or against history. And for the volatility, I just referenced how Connor McDavid is up to minus 200. He was plus 750 going into that game on Tuesday. He was more than 20-1 the game prior, when Sergei Bobrovsky was a minus 550 favorite. It's all over the place. It's eerily similar to what we saw in the NBA Finals, where Jaylen Brown was minus 235 going into game 5. Jason Tatum, by the end of that game, was bet up to over $3, and it still ends up being Brown winning. So just take that into account. Then to the historic side of it, it's been decades since a player who lost the Stanley Cup won the Conn Smythe. There have only been 5 players ever to do it. 4 of them were goalies. The only skater to ever do it was in 1976. So if you're betting Connor McDavid, and he has had a historic postseason, you're betting that he'll also make history in this market. Or are you going to bet on the history of the voters who have shown year in and year out that they don't bet or they don't select a player from the losing team? And then that opens up a whole other can of worms of who on the Florida Panthers would be worthy of Conn Smythe at this point. Because while Bobrovsky, as I referenced, was minus 550, you can't give it to him at this point. A big part of the argument for Alexander Barkov was the defensive ability that he was bringing in his two-way game, shutting down the Connor McDavid line. Feels like you can't give it to him anymore. So does it have to be Connor McDavid? I don't know. And so this is just one of those things where I say, if you're betting this market, I know it feels cut and dry. Connor McDavid, minus 200. He's going to win it. But recognize that nothing that is voted on by humans is ever a lock. And I would have a little bit of fear if I believed that Florida was going to win this series, that they might just end up giving it to whoever has the best end of series performance from Florida, which I'm not saying it's right, but I could see it happening just because of history.
I think that's a great warning.
I would say one last thing here, Michael, because I do think that it's warranted given that we're in the dog days of summer, and I'll keep this one short and sweet, but I know, like you, we're football people, right? A lot of the people that are listening to this show are football player people. And my last warning here is, in the summertime, are we betting just to bet, or are we betting to be profitable? Because if you're not somebody who grinds out Major League Baseball, or you know nothing about soccer, we should not be betting full unit plays on these sports. And who am I to tell you what to do with your money, right? It's your own money. Bet what you want to bet. I love a pizza money play. I feel like there should not be rules in terms of betting. But if football is your bread and butter, you should be taking advantage of this opportunity to do the research, to checking out roster turnover, to making your lists of beat writers for the season. Like, there are ways that you can be diving into futures markets and preparing to make money during the season versus throwing money away on sports you don't know anything about. That's my storm warning for today. Just some food for thought. We'll be back with hour two in a moment on the Lombardi Line.